Well, welcome back to Chapter 3 of our study guide for the Amateur Radio Technician class license. I'm Richard Clem, W0IS. I'm the author of the Plain English Study Guide for the test. You can find more information about that at Amazon. If you've just stumbled upon these recordings and you want to read more about the book and the rest of the courses, you can find the information on my website, W0IS.com. Here in Chapter 3, we're going to talk about antennas. And, well, you know what an antenna is. That's that metal thing up on the roof that you hook to your radio. But how do we define what an antenna is? Well, an antenna has a wire that comes down to your radio. We'll talk about that in a little bit more detail later on. One end of that wire hooks to the radio. The other end hooks to the antenna. Well, what's going through that wire is not radio waves, but it's radio frequency signal. Or RF, as we call it. So it's a form of alternating current electricity that's going through the wire. And what the antenna does is converts that RF signal, that alternating current, that electrical signal passing through the wire, it converts that into radio waves because the radio waves are what go out over the air. And similarly, the antenna also works in reverse. It can do the opposite. It can receive radio waves out of the air and convert it into an RF radio frequency alternating current signal that goes back down to the radio. So that's all an antenna is. It's something that converts an RF signal, an alternating current of electricity, converts that to or from radio waves. You will need to know the schematic symbol for the antenna. It's kind of an upside-down triangle, so make sure that you're familiar with what that looks like for the test. Now, there are two specific antennas that you need to know about for the test, and here there's a trick that will guarantee that you always get all those answers correct. Because the test will ask you something like, let's tell you what those two kinds of antennas are first. A vertical antenna is generally a quarter wavelength long, and a dipole antenna is generally half wavelength long. Now, you don't really even have to memorize that, because when you get these questions on the test, they will practically give you the answer, because it will say something like, approximately how long is a half-wave dipole antenna for the 6-meter band? Oh, wait a minute. They just practically gave you the answer because it said it was the 6-meter band. So that means the wavelength is how long? The wavelength is 6 meters. And it says they're right in the question, what's the length of a half-wavelength antenna for 6 meters? Half of 6 meters is 3 meters. So a half wavelength antenna for 6 meters is approximately 3 meters long. Now you do have to be able to change that into feet. You should know that 1 meter equals approximately 3 feet. So a half wavelength antenna for 6 meters is 3 meters long, meaning it's approximately 9 feet long. So you just look through the answers and find the answer that's closest to 9 feet, and that is the correct answer. The other type of antenna is a quarter wavelength vertical, a quarter wave vertical. So it might ask you, how long is a quarter wave vertical for the 2-meter amateur band? Well, the question practically gives you the answer, because the wavelength is 2 meters, and it says the antenna is going to be 1/4 of that. So the antenna is going to be about 1/2 of a meter long. So in other words, it's going to be about 18 inches long. So you look through the correct answers. One of the answers is 19 inches. That's the closest. So you know right away that is the length of a quarter wavelength antenna for 2 meters. Now, there's one more step that you might have to remember for some of these questions, because in a couple of cases, it will give you the not the frequency, but the wavelength. But remember, in the last lesson, we learned how you can convert quickly from frequency to wavelength. So, for example, one of the questions is, what is the approximate length in inches of a quarter wavelength vertical for 146 megahertz? Well, 146 megahertz, you might just remember that that's part of the 2 meter band. But if you don't remember that, you think to yourself, you know, how many meters is, what's the wavelength of 146 megahertz signal? Well, you remember at the beginning of the test, you wrote that circle up at the top where it's up at the top, you had 300 and down at the bottom, you had F and W. Well, you want to know the wavelength. So you cover up W and the formula is 300 divided by frequency. Here, the frequency is 146. So you can punch that into your calculator, 300 divided by 146. That is the wavelength in meters. Or you can just do that one in your head because you think, well, wait a minute, 146, that's approximately 150. So what's 300 divided by 150? I bet you can do that in your head. You don't have to because you can use a calculator on the test, but 300 divided by 150 is 2. So the wavelength of that signal on 146 megahertz that we're worried about for the question is approximately 2 meters long. So what's the approximate length of a quarter wavelength antenna for 2 meters? Well, it's 1/4 of 2. 2 divided by 4 equals 1/2. So it's 1/2 of a meter. A meter is about 3 feet long. Therefore, the size of the antenna would be about 18 inches. You look through the answers, and the only answer that's even close to that is 19 inches. And that is the correct answer. So remember, on those, you really don't have to remember anything because the question in every single case will tell you whether the antenna is a quarter wavelength long or a half wavelength long. So all you have to do is either look and see what the wavelength is or quickly calculate that and then divide it by either 2 or by 4, whatever the question says you're supposed to do. And that's going to give you approximately the right answer. And from the process of elimination, you can figure it out. One other factoid that you need to know for the test, a couple of other types of antennas that I'll be talking about. You need to know that one common type of antenna that gives you a little bit more gain that's commonly used on 2 meters is a 5/8 wave antenna. You don't have to calculate what it is, but you have to know that that's the name of a type of antenna for that's commonly used on 2 meters, a 5/8 wave. 5/8 wave antenna because it's 5/8 of a wavelength long. You need to know that sometimes you want to make your antenna a little bit longer than it really is because you don't have enough room to put up the full antenna. How can you make your antenna longer without making it physically longer? And the answer is you can lengthen the antenna without really lengthening it by adding a coil, which kind of makes sense. You're just adding a bunch of extra wire to your antenna. You're making it longer. And it's okay if some of that wire is coiled up. So if the question is, what is one way to add, to electrically lengthen an antenna, the answer is you can add a coil of wire to it. Or sometimes you'll use the word, you can add a loading coil. You can load the antenna by adding a coil. In some cases, especially in VHF and UHF, it's very important to know whether the other station has a horizontal antenna or whether they have a vertical antenna. Because if you have a vertical antenna, well, then your signal is vertically polarized. If your antenna is horizontal, then your signal is horizontally polarized. And that's important because on VHF and UHF, you get a much stronger signal if you have the same polarization as the other guy. So in other words, if one guy has a horizontal antenna and the other guy has a vertical antenna, you're going to have a lot of trouble hearing each other. But if you're both horizontal or you're both vertical, then that is the best way to do things. Remember that antenna lengths are really based on the wavelength. So therefore, once you realize that, you remember that if you need to change the frequency of an antenna, if you want to lower the frequency, well, the lower the frequency means a longer wavelength. So an antenna on a low frequency is going to have a longer antenna. a frequency, an antenna for a high frequency is going to have a shorter antenna. So therefore, a 6 meter antenna, that's a lower frequency, that's going to be longer than a 2 meter antenna because that's a higher frequency. So if you think of it in terms of wavelength, it kind of makes sense. Or just remember that as you go up in frequency, the size of your antenna is going to get smaller and smaller. We already talked about a half wavelength dipole antenna. The other important thing to remember about that is that will transmit and receive best broadside to the antenna. So in other words, if you have this wire antenna called a dipole running north to south, that means it'll get out the best to the east and west. Or if the antenna is running from east to west, it's going to get out best to the north and south. So it'll get out best broadside to the antenna because there's more antenna there to pick up signals coming from that direction. The other thing to know about vertical antenna is just one little factoid you have to memorize. We talked about vertical polarization and horizontal polarization. If you have a vertical antenna, just memorize the following fact. In a vertical antenna, the electric field is perpendicular to the earth. Just remember that. You don't need to know what that means. Just memorize that fact in case you get that question. If you have a vertical antenna, the electric field is perpendicular to the earth. Sometimes you want an antenna that only gets out in one direction or only picks up signals from one direction. The general term for that is a beam antenna, B-E-A-M. A beam antenna sends out a signal in a narrow beam in one direction. Or to put it another way, it's a directional antenna. You might ask, give some examples of some different directional antennas, some different beam antennas. And the examples that you need to know are a quad, a Yagi, and a dish antenna. So those are all examples of beam antennas or directional antennas, quad, Yagi, and dish. So you just need to know those three names as being directional antennas. A directional antenna has a gain. That's a measurement in dB, in decibels, about how much stronger the signal is in one direction as compared to other directions. If you have a big beam antenna up on their roof, the opposite of that, the bare bones antenna is commonly called a rubber duck antenna. That's that flexible little rubber antenna that usually goes on handheld radios. It doesn't work as well as a full-size antenna, as you might have guessed, and there's actually a question about that. Also, you might need to know in particular for the test that it might not work very well inside the car. Because if you're inside a car with this antenna, then the car is shielding and everything. So a handheld radio in the car will work a lot better if you put some kind of antenna outside. Because the rubber duck antenna inside the car is not a real efficient way of doing things. But sometimes it works, so who cares? As long as you're getting out as strong as you need to, in some cases that works plenty well. But on the other hand, if you're a little bit more marginal signal, it'll really make a world of difference by putting some kind of outside antenna on the vehicle instead of trying to operate it inside the car. What's that wire called that goes between the radio and the antenna? Well, it's called the general term for that is the feed line because it's feeding the signal from your radio to the antenna. It's called the feed line. The most common type of feed line that most hams use for most purposes is coaxial cable. A coaxial cable has a center conductor and an outside shield. Usually what hams use is called 50 ohm coax, the number 50 ohm. It's outside of the scope of this program what exactly that 50 ohms means. You can't measure it with an ohm meter. It's called the characteristic impedance of coax. But if the test asks you what kind of coax do hams usually use, the answer is that they usually use 50 ohm coax. The connector that goes on the end of the coax. The most common one that that you see on CB and amateur radio equipment, the most common one is called a PL259 connector, PL-259. That's the name of that connector at the end of the coaxial cable that screws into the radio. It's about a half an inch in diameter or so. That's the most commonly used one. Another type that works better at higher frequencies, so works better at UHF especially, so you might see it there, is an N connector. That looks kind of the same, but it's not quite as common. Those are the two types of coaxial connectors that you need to know about. You need to know that if you're going to put one of those outside, one of those connectors, well, you better seal it up so that the rain won't get into it. Because if rain gets into the cable, well, as you might have guessed, that's bad. Why is it bad? Because it causes the loss to increase. You're going to lose a lot of your signal while it tries to push through that water. And that's the most common reason for a coaxial cable to fail, because water gets into it. Another bad thing that can happen is sometimes ultraviolet light from the sun can damage the outside of the coax. So you have to watch out for that. Let's see, you have to know that air core coax, you have to be a little bit more careful with about getting water into it. There are two types of coaxial cable that you need to know about. The two most common kinds are RG58 and RG8. RG8 is thicker, it has less loss, and it's more expensive. But those are the two common types of coax used by amateurs, RG58 and RG8. A hard line would be used on something like a repeater or something where you need the very best, the lowest loss, but very expensive and hard to work with. What happens if you do have loss? Maybe you have water in there, you just have cheap coax or whatever. Well, the signal doesn't make it to the antenna. And where does that energy go? Well, it actually causes the coax to heat up. So your feed line actually heats up, and there might be a question about that on the test. You need to match the antenna to the radio. And for the test, all you need to know is that how do you measure whether or not your radio is matched to the antenna? And the answer is with the SWR, which stands for standing wave ratio. And a ratio, when you say the words, you usually say, my SWR is 1:1. And if you say your SWR is 1:1, that's really good. That second number is it's a ratio. So the second number is always 1. So you would never say my SWR is 3:2 or anything like that. No, the second number is always a 1. And the best possible SWR means everything is perfect is 1:1. So 1:1 SWR is what you want. If it gets up to maybe 2:1, that's still probably okay. But if it gets much higher than that, if it gets maybe to 4:1, you're not going to get most of your signal out, and you run the risk of damaging your radio. How can you reduce the SWR? Well, one way to do that is with an antenna tuner. That's a device that goes between your transmitter and the antenna to lower the SWR. One question asks about antenna loading, and loading just means adding a coil to the antenna to make it appear longer than it really is. And that should get you through Chapter 3. That's everything you need to know for the test about antennas. So we'll continue on in Chapter 4, talking about how radio waves propagate, how they get from point A to point B. Again, if you're looking for more information about this course, you can check my website, w0is.com, and you can check on Amazon for the accompanying book, my plain English study guide for the amateur radio technician class license.